0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the dust slowly begins to settle on an incident-packed weekend. Or maybe not. Celtic are waiting to find out if they've been successful in overturning Yang's red card appeal. The same goes for Kilmarnock, with Derek McInnes unhappy at Lewis Mayo's ordering off, and Rangers turn their attentions to a trip to Lisbon to take on Benfica. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Kenny Miller and Gordon Dalziel. The type of weekend you're probably not over by Tuesday night, is that fair?
Absolutely not, chance. I think the referees, VAR, everything will come into play tonight. I didn't think I'd be sitting here this Tuesday looking down and saying, well, Rangers lost first and then Celtic. It doesn't happen often, but it certainly leads to an exciting weekend. Rangers looking forward to Thursday night against Benfica. And then we've got the excitement of the Scottish Cup at the weekend. What else can go wrong?
I'll tell you one guy who knows for sure the last time Celtic and Rangers lost in the same weekend.
This man.
Yep, 2018, February.
You're going to blame Rangers' loss and the fact that you didn't play?
Probably, aye.
Is that what it was down to?
Down to that,
if
yep.
You'd been given
poor
the nod.
Poor selection that day, Solar was.
Was against Tibbs?
Don't know who it was against.
Actually, can't remember. I'll look it up for you.
Yep. No, it was definitely February 2018, I think it was. So I was just coming back for an injury, actually, as well, probably 2 weeks before that.
I didn't want to risk you.
No, it was just wasn't playing. Poor selection, like I say. Bad management at the time.
141 951 1025. That's the number you need. As we've alluded to, it was the type of weekend that you probably still got some opinions on. And in fact, there will be developments. I would expect, maybe, no, I don't promise anything, but I would expect fairly soon, some verdicts on those appeals. Obviously, Celtic have appealed the red card shown to Yang in the game against Hearts, just in case you hadn't heard about that fixture at the weekend. Kilmarnock in a similar boat, so we might get a verdict very soon. Until that time, you could, I guess, predict it. Do you think that appeal will be successful? Do you think that will be overturned? And then when we get the decision, if we do, we can talk it through there as well. Or here's something radical we could do, right? See, because last night was like all about referees and all about VAR and all about the decisions that were made, maybe we could actually talk about the football from the weekend tonight, because we didn't really get the chance to do it. So if you're that way inclined, and there must be a silent minority, majority, I don't know, out there, who think, you know, actually the referee stuff doesn't really float my boat. I want to talk about my team and their tactics and the result and their performance and how good or bad player A or player B were. So if that is you and you want to use that time wisely tonight, 0141 951 1025. You could give us a call right now, and we could mix things up and talk about the actual football from the weekend. Because as we say, it is pretty rare, Gordon. Yes, Celtic might feel the red card was part of the reason. Rangers might feel the non-red card of Dan Casey was part of the reason. But either way, it has to be big when, as we said, we're dealing with something that didn't happen since 2018, both losing on the same weekend.
Yeah, take Rangers first, because they obviously kicked off against Motherwell on the Saturday. I think credit's got to go to Motherwell. I thought Motherwell are excellent on the day. We had Rangers fans calling in here in their droves after the game, talking about the back four, Golson and Suter, the way that Motherwell really caused a lot of problems, Gordon. Now, I'll always defend Rangers back four, because I think since Clement's come into the building, their defending has been terrific. They don't give up a lot of goals, but Saturday, you cannot deny Motherwell caused them all sorts of problems. All sorts of problems. And when it goes one each, everybody's sitting, and especially in the studio, thinking, right, next goal, probably be Rangers. It'll be a good day for them. Put the points gap to five. But credit to Motherwell. They went out the park. You can argue about Casey's challenge on McCausland, but he's at the back post and he gets the winner. And then you're over to Celtic and you're thinking, right, okay, Celtic will close that gap. Celtic will go top of the league. It didn't work out. They had a great opportunity, obviously, missed penalty again. I don't think that was the referee's fault. And then plenty of talking points after that. And Hearts with that man, as long as you've got Shanklin playing up top, Hearts always guarantee they're going to get a goal.
I suppose you're right in the middle from a Rangers perspective though, Kenny, because yes, everyone's still partially thinking about the weekend. I'm sure Philippe Clement's not, because he's got a massive European game just 2 days away. They'll fly out tomorrow, and it makes for an interesting midweek.
Listen, it's a tough midweek when you look at the like the runny fixtures that I've got coming up. Every single game at this stage of the season is important. You've got Europa League last 16, Scottish Cup quarterfinals, and now you've got a in 10 days time, 11 days time, a bounce back in the league as well. So it's such an important time for Philippe Clement's time. The last time they got beat, they went on that 11-12 game winning run. That's the kind of response he'll be looking for again, because it wasn't a bad performance for Rangers at the weekend. Gordon's right, absolutely. Motherwell deserve credit. The reason they gave Rangers so much problems, the reason the Rangers fans are maybe mourning about the back four, is they gave Theo Bear the type of service that he needs. You know, I mean, you've got guys like Vale, that's round about him, Spittle's round about him. They perform so well. Lennon Miller again showing another really, really impressive, composed performance in the middle for a man his age. Motherwell deserve a lot of credit, but Rangers had enough chances to win the game. Motherwell rode their luck. Liam Kelly on the day was absolutely outstanding. Yeah, it was just the perfect storm for a team going to Ibrox and getting the right result. And for unfortunately for Philippe Clement and his men, they were on the wrong side of it. But they've got a big, big game on Thursday to bounce back in. It'll be a real tough night. I know, I don't know if it's a positive or a negative, the fact that Benfica got done 5 at the weekend, because they'll be looking to bounce back after a really poor result in their domestic league. So it's a big, big night. It's a big few weeks for Philippe Clement and his men, and the injuries are stacking up as well. So the squad's going to be spread thin over this next kind of, I mean, 4 games over the course of the next kind of 12 days or so.
Different competitions.
It's going to take everybody.
Yeah, and it's another week, Gordon, where we'll test those theories. We always throw out the generalisations about concentrating in the league, prioritising Europe, when realistically I think every manager just wants to win them all. There's not a chance Philippe Clement's thinking, well, listen, we'll just get this Benfica inconvenience out the way so I can get back to focusing on the league.
I think it is the old cliche, one game at a time. I think he'll just be concentrating, putting all his eggs in one basket for Thursday night, try to get a good result. I think Kenny's right. Since he's come into the building, the one thing he does with his squad, he rotates every single game. The fans have actually bought into that. They like that. But as Kenny rightly points out there, they've got a right few injuries now. So I think he'll maybe have to ask one or two of them to go to the well for a couple of games over the coming weeks, Gordon, and especially important games, because they'll get Benfica on Thursday night. They're away to Hibs. Hibs are starting to show a little bit of form at Easter Road. Cup tie, I think that'll be a cracker.
01419511025. That is the number you need. So do get in touch and let us know what's on your mind. Sean is a Rangers fan. He's going to kick things off tonight. How's it going, Sean?
Yeah, good, Gordon, yourself?
Not bad, not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
Evening, Gordon, Kenny Gordon.
Hey, Sean.
A point about Rodgers, at the risk of sounding... I'll not say what how it'll sound. I think it was very, very sly of Mr. Rodgers to bring John Beaton's name into it the other day when he didn't bring Don Robertson's. I think he knew what would happen online. I think it's a genuine shame for the referees, because what they've been poor, because they've been poor for everybody. But I thought that was pretty poor, especially when, obviously, his side were fortunate with a penalty, which nobody's disputing. Even Sutton couldn't dispute it on the radio. And the sending off, again, that was one even Sutton tried to mention. It was at Cochrane. He went to say, oh, he's put his head down, and then he stopped himself. So if you've got Sutton not even complaining about it, I think it's a stonewall red card. It shouldn't be, but by the letter of the law, it is. And as a result of him deflecting for his own team's performance, I think that was, well, I thought it was terrible. And I was astounded when they've appealed it as well. I think it's just unnecessary pressure on the referees that, again, they're poor, but yeah, the clubs aren't helping them.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're allowed to appeal. Kilmarnock have done the same, and I don't know if people think that Kilmarnock have a chance of winning theirs. I don't suppose there's any real harm in that. What about Sean's kind of wider point, because might surprise people to hear, you don't think Yang's was a red card?
No, I don't. I think there's, again, you say it every single week, you can't just throw everything in and put them into the same bracket. Yang has not went towards Cochrane with any real force. He's clearly, again, as a player, he's trying to just get his toe on it, just to flip it over Cochrane's head, and Cochrane's came in, and I think the contact is... Mm-hmm. There is contact. I was listening last night, and one caller saying there was no contact. There was definite contact. On his head. Yep, on his head.
He said.
But the contact was minimal. And you know, I know you could be saying endangering the opponent. I think had they been coming together and the foot was getting raised as they were moving, absolutely that would have been endangered the opponent. But just putting his leg was going directly right into the air to try and get to the ball. I think it's a harsh, I know, by the way, Sean's probably right to the letter of the law, it probably is a red card. I don't like seeing that as a red card because I know there's no malice, there's no force, by the way, in terms of that word's been used a lot over the last month or so. I just felt it was really, really, really unlucky, and the referee might have got it right in relation to the law, but for me it wasn't a red.
Well, this is the thing then, so in many ways, because Sean said it shouldn't be, but it is, and in the end you've sort of said that as well, yeah, by the letter of the law. Do you, the more I'm listening to reactions to this, the players all seem to think that that's harsh, yep, because they've been there, and you know that, you think, you know what, that's, you know, it's such an accident, and there's maybe not that much force, but does it just, whether you like it or not, come down to that wording? And in fact, the appeals process, which will be taking place right now, maybe we'll get the verdict soon to really bore you with this sort of legal speak. What Celtic are going to have to do in this appeal is that, by way of evidence and not an opinion, upon the balance of probabilities, show that an obvious refereeing error was made. At which point, Sean and maybe others will say, well, his boot hit Cochrane's head, so that's not an obvious refereeing error, and therefore they won't win that appeal. But they might, because I've gave up trying to second guess appeals a long time ago. And but I feel like the more I hear from ex-players, they are ones that I've got real sympathy for that type of incident. But then, the rules are the rules, that sort of thing. What do you?
I think Kenny puts up a very good case for Yang. It's very hard to disagree, but I think he is with where his foot is.
So that just ticks endangering there.
I think it's a red card. I don't think it'll be overturned, Gordon. I feel sorry for a lad, but as Kenny, once he put up his evidence there for Yang, he did finish it with, well, letter of law, it is a red card. And we get back to the letter of the law. The one thing I totally understand as a player, because we've all been on in these split-second decisions and there's no malice or whatever. You look at handballs even now. I have not got a clue what a penalty kick is.
Anyway, I'm going to jump in on that, because when I say to the letter of the law, I don't know what the law is. Is it just purely endangering the opponent? Because I don't know if he was endangering the opponent by that type of action.
It's all still to be interpreted. This is the thing we kid ourselves on, that we can...
And by the way, he gave the yellow card first. He gave a yellow card first for it. You know, it wasn't a straight... So he's looked at it and thought, okay. I mean, he must have seen the high boot. He must have seen potential contact. And he's decided it was a yellow card. And then he overturns it and gives a red.
But
so,
the only thing I'll say about that, Kenny, right, you can look at an incident... I feel sorry for a boy, right, first and foremost, I'm not against him. You can look at an incident in real time once and you think, oh, that's a yellow card, but then when you've got the benefit of going over and having a look at the screen two or three times, you're entitled to change your mind because you get more time to think. Mm-hmm. We've done it in as pundits in studios. We've sat and watched something and went, that's a penalty kick. And then after two or three replays, we've turned round and I've seen it before in this programme, saying, well, maybe it's not a penalty kick, I've just had another.
My question would be, though, to Don Robert, what is he seeing that's different to what he would have seen?
I think there's a subtle difference in what you two are saying here, because he's, as Kenny says, he's seen something to give a yellow.
Mm-hmm.
So what?
And I buy it. And Gordon's right.
What constituted the yellow? What was missing? And that's not an accusation. It's a genuine. That's maybe where it would be nice to get to hear some
absolutely
of these things.
I think you're right there, Gordon. The communication from it. Look, if Don Robertson had went over and decided not to change his mind and stick with a yellow, I wouldn't be sitting here arguing the point. But I can totally understand why it's a red card.
And like we said, then the appeal, it's just slightly different. I know some people might just feel this is semantics, but you're having to now prove upon the balance of probabilities that an obvious refereeing error was made. That's harder. You know, it's a that's a higher bar than just to say, what do you think at the time?
Yeah.
You know, once that decision has been made, you then need to prove that an obvious refereeing error has been made. So overall, Sean, you don't think that appeal will be successful this evening?
I certainly hope not. And again, I think the undue pressure that Rodgers has put on the referees generally is ridiculous. I also thought it was ridiculous when Rangers done it earlier in the season with a handball to Johnson in the Old Firm. obviously without going back over all ground, I do think that was ridiculous as well, but particularly because he's mentioned John Bean's name and obviously the history that's there, which he's discussed, and he's made the point very well last night about the amount of Celtic games or games that he's refereed and Celtic have received the decisions. So there's nothing there. And again, if you think the referees are biased against a certain team, then just stop it tomorrow.
I think that's fair of you. I'm glad Sean sort of added that, because we do this, don't we? We all... You see your rival fans react in a certain way to decisions. Look how ridiculous your reaction is when you've probably done it as well. So fair enough to Sean. He thinks his club made too much of it when it was Willie Collum earlier in the season. He's now accusing Brendan Rodgers of the same. You're the friend of the referees. You're the only guy I know that tries to hang about with referees.
No, I don't try and hang
to,
about
tries
them.
To befriend them. So were you, what do you make of Sean's comments on Brendan Rodgers?
I totally agree. And I think he's right. I think that when the big clubs, i.e. Rangers and Celtic, and I'm aiming at both of them here, I think when they lose a game, the first target they go for is VAR and the referees, right? Now, referees will certainly get decisions wrong 100%. VAR get decisions wrong 100%, because we all sit here, that's the beauty of the game, and we argue. But I am not buying into it, and nobody will convince me that referees set out to give certain teams certain decisions that will turn games, because evidence is there. And what Sean was saying about last night, about John Beaton has refereed many Celtic games and gave them decisions that some people would disagree
and
with.
Then the problem,
it's nonsense.
And then what I think, again, another strand to this, which Sean's getting at, Gordon's just mentioned him by name, which is fine, but we've now sort of been led there. Don Robertson was the referee. Don Robertson has shown within the last, eight weeks, he is willing to go to a monitor and stand by his own decision. I know that in general we've got this feeling that they don't, but he's done it. He's done it just a couple of weeks ago. So this notion that it's...
Wrongly as well, I would say.
There's the other thing.
There you go.
Let's just argue about that one as well. You know, I think obviously Sean's point is then to make it about the VAR, specifically that one man. And you will know who the name is. It's not a secret. It's published before the game. I think that's what Sean's sort of disagreeing with.
Yeah, he is. He's not happy about the fact that obviously that man in question has been named.
By the way, you can't actually name him. I'm kind of joking,
and
but
Don
it's just
Robertson
like...
Don Robertson is like... You know, I'll tell you what I look at when I heard after the post-match stuff and talking about the red card and talking about the handball and all that. I think Brendan would have... maybe got more credit had he actually said, you know what, and ours wasn't a penalty either. You know, you've got Yang jumping across and making the contact with Cochrane, and that's a soft penalty, you know, and that was the ref, that was Don Robertson actually gave that. There was no VAR getting overruling that, you know. So it's there was just, I felt there was just bad decisions that were made with it, and when you throw VAR into the mix, you expect it to be corrected. And I think what Brendan was saying is he feels that the VAR and the referees have definitely influence the result of a game, and that's what we don't want. We don't want to be talking about referees or VAR affecting, by the way, potentially affecting where the title can go at the end of the season. We don't want that. We want to be talking about the football. We had a brilliant game at Ibrox, Rangers v Motherwell, two teams, Motherwell obviously riding the luck good. We had again, even with 10 men, Celtic played pretty well, created chances, were still in the game, which I expected them to be, until the main man stepped up and put the game to bed. You know, so it was still a decent enough game. Would it have been better had it been 11 men? Probably would have been, yeah, but it was still a good game of football, out with the bad refereeing decisions that were in it.
0141 951 1025. Get your calls in right now and we'll try and get you on next.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Kenny Miller are here. It's 01419511025. There are some do you know what I've always said to people, right? If I meet them outside, you know, they say, oh, you get some lively callers on that show. I always say, think about the ones that don't make it to air, right? That's what my general sort of thought would be. And I'm just looking at some of the points being made. The production staff in the background. What a weekend it must have been, let me tell you. Wow.
What a Monday, Tuesday.
It's getting heated over there, right? Anyway, let's bring in Davey, who's on. How are you, Davey?
From Dunfermline.
How's it going? All right?
Yeah, I'm still a bit upset about Sunday.
Yeah. What in particular's upset you? Take it away.
In England, the referees have got to declare an alliance to their football team to support.
That's right.
Right, up here, they don't. Mm-hmm. How can you have a Rangers fan in the VAR? Yeah, it's a Rangers fan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question, and you're right about England. Every time this comes up, Davey, I ask it, and I don't know if people think I'm being like, you know, like trying to avoid it. I'm being deadly serious. How would we implement that up here when so many people are a Celtic fan or a Rangers fan? So any ref that signs up is basically not allowed. So if you're a Celtic fan, you can't ref any Celtic games or any Rangers games. And if you're a Rangers fan, you can't ref any Rangers games or Celtic games. So you're signing up to be a ref. In the process, you're doing yourself out of any cup final or semi-final, because they all make it there, any big game. Oh, and by the way, take it from personal experience, Davey. See, if you say you're a St Mirren, Kilmarnock, Motherwell, Hamilton Accies fan, people here don't believe you anyway. And you'll know that. People don't believe you. So, genuinely, how would we implement it?
And all my friends up here are Dunfermline fans. But most of my friends up here, they would lean towards Celtic.
Right, so you couldn't have them then either. They're Dunfermline fans, but we can't have them. We can't have them reffing Rangers games if they lean towards Celtic.
Well, maybe we should bring on English referees.
Right, so is that the route? Because, so we can't... They, but then they wouldn't need to declare their allegiance then.
Well, a guy down in England was, Crystal Palace fan. I don't think he would have an allegiance towards Celtic.
I know, but this is my point, right? So in the space of, I don't know what that was, about 40 seconds... You now don't want refs to declare their allegiance. You've already sort of accepted that it's impossible for us to implement, so you want English refs. So the whole point of declaring their allegiance, that argument lasted 40 seconds before we managed to both realise that it probably couldn't work here.
Well, I don't know what we're going to do.
That's fair.
You got there in the end.
But also, when I say this is people, I don't know if people think I'm pretending that, like, they don't make mistakes or whatever. Of course, but this notion, and I've seen it, and I think on paper, I totally get it. But in Scotland, in this particular footballing environment, how would we recruit referees with those limitations? How would we do it?
It's impossible. It's impossible.
I'll tell you what you would have, though. You'd have a lot of Arbroath fans. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
I'm a Wraith fan, Dave. I'll come and referee your game, Dunfermline.
We're going down this route with AI now, so we could just get artificial intelligence to...
AI. I know what you meant, though. But that's the thing. But Davey, who programmed it, eh? Do you know what I mean? what allegiance did he have? And...
It's impossible, Gordon. It's what it is. And you know, we've had this on the show before when I've been on it, and I think Philippe Clement said it really well at the start. If he ever felt that there was a referee leaning or biased towards a certain team, you might as well just shut the game down now. You've got to respect... Listen, the referees are going to get things wrong, and listen, we've been talking about it for a night and a half on this show about the decisions that were potentially got wrong and the effects that it could potentially have on the season. The referees are not going to be biased. They're not leaning one way or the other. Given the allegiance, you're not going to have anybody want to referee, because you want to be refereeing the big games. Refereeing a Rangers Celtic game or a cup final or a semi, that's what propels these referees into the European games and gets them the kind of status that they need to go and maybe go to a World Cup or a Euros and representing their country. They're never going to get it if they're not refereeing the big games, the high pressure games. So you're right, you're not going to be able to recruit referees that are not going to be. If a Rangers fan's never going to be able to referee any Rangers Celtic or vice versa, it's just impossible. You have to just trust that the referees are doing their job. Listen, everybody's around an off day. You know, they can do their job badly sometimes. Players do it, managers do it, referees definitely do it. You know, but there's mistakes to be made. That's why, for me, you just get rid of VAR and allow the referees to make the mistakes that they were making before anyway.
I'm with Kenny. I think Kenny makes some great points here. Look, I've looked at, I know a lot of referees at the referee at the top level, and let me say that they take pride in their work, Gordon, right? And they really do. They work very hard at it. Am I saying that it's a great standard in the world? No, I'm not. But the one thing I'm very confident is these guys have got a lot of pride in themselves. They're out there trying to be the best. They're out there trying to make the best decisions. It's a very, very difficult job, especially in today's football. As Kenny says, we've introduced VAR. You get a second look at it. I don't think anybody knows what the handball rule is in the penalty box now. I don't care if you're top referee or not. But I find it sometimes a bit disheartening when anything that happens at the big clubs get beat, the first people they go after is the officials, and I don't think that's right.
Davey, you say bring up English referees. I don't know about you. I don't watch loads of English football, but every day all I see is English football complaining about refs and about VAR and about this, that and the next thing. Are they going to do any better?
No, but a referee that supports Man United isn't a referee a Man United match.
But I get, like, but that's a completely different football landscape down there, Davey. Let's not forget, a couple of minutes ago, you agreed that we would probably not be able to implement that up here.
No, you said that to me. I was going to ask Kerry, why is there no Scottish referees in the European tournaments? Because we're all rubbish.
Listen,
but are they biased or are they rubbish? Like, we need to make up your mind here. Like, what's happening?
Listen, I think there's rubbish referees everywhere, or referees everywhere can have off days. You've just seen an English team actually going to appoint an ex-referee to actually explain to them what on earth is going on here with some of the decisions. So the English referees are, the English clubs are no happy with decisions that are going against them. And by the way, see, if we did get English referees up, we'd still be having these conversations. It might not be with that sinister undertone of, whoa, well, why was that decision made or who's on VAR? You know, it would be because they're maybe English and they've not got an allegiance either way to the big two up here in Scotland, but they'd still be making mistakes. They would still be getting things that fans, one club would be no be happy because it cost them a penalty or cost them a game. You would still be going through the same thing. Wouldn't have that argument.
Yeah. Have we got selective memories with it as well, or do we do it deliberately? I feel like some of the worst handballs I've seen have come in European competition. I remember a wild one that Conor Goldson got penalised for. Celtic gave away two handballs against Real Madrid, didn't they? I thought one in particular was so harsh. Some of the refereeing Scotland were on the receiving end of towards the end. That night in Spain?
Yeah.
That was one of the worst refereeing performances I've ever seen. Rangers, Borussia Dortmund, remember the VAR call that went against Alfredo Morelos? One is now played, I believe that one is now shown to referees globally as an example of how not to use VAR. So if I genuinely turned on any other league and watched it and thought, oh, these referees are bang at it, give us some of that, then fine. I just have never seen it. Maybe
I don't think anybody should. I really don't. The next one that will be, I'm very surprised I've not heard it, that we should have full-time referees. But I keep going back to it, Gordon. They make mistakes. Of course they do. It's difficult. But I think they're as honest as the day's long. I really do. I think they work hard at their game. I think they try and make the right decisions. And it's the nature of football, because the pace of football now is completely different. It's very quick. VAR, the rules are completely different. A lot of people, and I'm including coaches and players here, that don't really understand it.
So also,
it's a difficult job.
The level of scrutiny is clearly playing a part. That's all. I mean,
100%.
Hugh said last night, and we debated it for a bit, you know, that are making way more mistakes now than ever before. Probably not, to be honest. It's just that the level of scrutiny is there. It's played out in social media for days and days after it. Everyone's got different angles and slow it down. You can send it to everybody on their phone. As an example, like, obviously the Rangers game, the Rangers mother, it wasn't televised. So, you know, sometimes the incidents get a bit overlooked slightly more, but the highlights programmes comes on, people film it on their phones and you can send it to everybody. So I think the level of scrutiny clearly plays a part. Let's use you as the example to knock this argument on the head for now, unless somebody can give me a better example. All of you who think that referees should have to declare their allegiance, I want you to picture the scene. You turn up to your team's cup final. It's massive. You're hoping for a fair crack of the whip. You get your match programme, and on the back it says, referee Gordon DL, brackets, Motherwell fan. None of you are going to believe it. So how is that going to work?
To be fair, I think I'd be the first in the queue.
No, you wouldn't. Anyway, let's thank Davey for his thoughts and bring in Mo, who I think might have a more sort of football tactical personnel type point. Mo, take it away.
How you doing, guys? Good evening, panel.
Good evening,
it's my first time on, so bear with me.
Hold on, you've actually seen this refereeing madness and decided to call in about something else for the first time. I like your style.
I have. Just a big point about Clermont. I'd like to see Clermont go out and really kind of buy or try and loan in a top quality kind of centre half in the summer.
I think that's a priority area at the moment.
I think Suter and Goldson are very much the same and kind of dodgy in a way. I think Balogun, he was obviously 35 kind of plus, he's getting older, but just something reliable and that can kind of help solidify the back line.
Kenny? that be something Rangers would look at?
I think it will be a position they will look at in the summer. I think I said in January that left side of the defence would be one that they would be looking at. Leon Balogun, unlucky actually, he's picked this injury up because I felt him and Conor Goldson were forming a decent partnership. I mean, John Souter's came in and done okay. The left back scenario, it rumbles on. Borna Barisic probably leave in the summer. What's going to be happening with Yilmaz, who's actually been playing pretty well of late? But in terms of the left side centre back, I think that will be an area that they will look at. Who? I don't know. I'm trying to think, is there anybody in our league? I would probably say no. I think it would need to be further afield that they would need to go and look at, but I do believe that will be a position that they'll be looking at in the summer.
Just wonder if there's any recency bias, Mo, because the Rangers' defensive record's very good, and then individually they had a really tough afternoon on Saturday. How much is that playing a part, or did you think this, you know, sort of across the board?
Well, you see yourself there, defence has been pretty good, but I think that's mainly down to the man in goal, Butland, at the moment. But I watched it in, for a bit since Saturday, and I thought, for the goal especially, I don't know who it is, kind of leans into Souter, but obviously
Jack Vale.
So yeah, he's got to kind of got on with that and deal with that. And I thought Bear kind of gave Goldson a tough afternoon as well, and I just thought they're very much the same, and I just kind of see us winning a great deal. I know I've got the cup in the bag already, but I kind of see us winning a great deal with them two kind of starting.
I mean, Gordon, Mo has given a lot of credit to Jack Butland. There's no doubt he deserves it. But again, it's worth bearing in mind, there are some games where he doesn't even face a shot or face a meaningful shot, and then credit goes to the defence. So clearly it's a team effort, right? We can give both credit for the good record. How worrying was that attempt to handle Theo Bear and Jack Vale at the weekend, or is it a one-off? Mo clearly thinks it's more than that.
I think a few Rangers supporters are called in after a game, thinks it's more than that. The one that came in for a bit of criticism was Conor Goldson. I think Conor Goldson's been brilliant for Rangers. One or two talking about, well, his legs have gone, i.e. But if you look at their defensive record since Clement's come in, it's been absolutely brilliant, Gordon, I've got to say. It really has. They've got a terrific goalkeeper as well behind. I would put that down to a one-off. I really would, because I think that Goldson and Souter just now, I totally agree with Ken. I thought Balogun and Goldson looked a good partnership. But Goldson, Souter, Tavernier, and probably number one left back then I will be Yilmaz with Butland behind. That's a good five for me. Will they strengthen in the summer? They probably will. But I think it's just a little bit unfair, because credit to the Motherwell frontline. They'd obviously done their homework. They had one of those days at Ibrox. They got at Rangers. They caused panic. They caused them trouble. They scored a couple of goals. And all of a sudden, the flat comes at the back four. I think you've just got to settle everything down. They've got a massive few games coming up.
Just on that theme loosely, for the, I think the first time this season, I saw even just a tiny hint, just a small question of should Jack Butland have done better with the second goal. Is that just too harsh, or is it because it's about as close as we've possibly come to him who's been so reliable?
For me,
Casey's
no
really
chance.
Close, isn't he?
He's close, and it's also travelling past him. It's fallen over Tavernier's head as well, so he's unsighted, and it's down low and hard into the ground at the near post. I'll tell you, had he saved it, it would have been an incredible save. So no fault. I actually heard somebody say, well, could he have done better with the first goal?
What?
Theo Bear's actually hit it down to the ground and right in the post, you know, so he's nowhere near it. That would be kind of clutching to try and find a bit of criticism to level at Jack Butland, because there's no way he could have done any better.
Am I okay to go against Kenny here tonight, which I'm going to do? I think because of the way Jack Butland is, I think because of the difficulty of the header, I think Jack Butland, I was surprised.
Really?
Yeah, I was surprised.
So close though. It seems it's right next to your foot. Goalies would tell you, I think, that that's actually the hardest bit, because they can't get down with their hands.
I think Casey gets it down. I think it's the right header to try. I'm probably giving Jack Butland more, you know, pat in the back than a lot of people. I thought Jack Butland, for me, if I was the Rangers back four, I would be saying my goalkeeper will save that.
Loves refs, hates goalies. That's what I've noticed about him over the years. Mo, is that the first time? Is it painless enough? Will you call us back sometime?
Okay, it was brilliant. I'll be definitely back.
Good man. Thank you very much. That was Mo on the line. Let me tell you about this. Clyde One. Just imagine you're Claire, right? You're just working from home, going through the motions, and then you pick up the phone, say, make me a winner, and win £154,000. How do you think the rest of your shift from home would go?
no, phone, hang up.
Laptop down.
Not overly productive. She's got a lot of plans for the cash, as you can imagine. Paying off the mortgage, a very expensive handbag, a holiday to Dubai. Some priorities in there. We could make you the winner of £156,000 tomorrow when we make the next call, but you need to be in that draw. So text YES to 61025. Text of £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this network competition are online. The important bit: if you get the call after 3pm tomorrow, answer within 5 rings, say make me a winner straight away to win £156,000.
1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Kenny Miller are here on 01419511025. If you'd rather tweet, you can as well at Clyde SSB. And we are taking your calls between now and 8 o'clock. Still no verdict from that Yang appeal, by the way. I kind of thought we might have it by now. Although I've seen many of these over the years rumble on and on, whether it's lawyers or whatnot arguing their case and splitting hairs over this word or that word. It's that type of situation when you get into the appeals process. Remember, it's an independent judicial panel. They take a look at it and see what they can come up with. So hopefully before 8 o'clock, for goodness sake, we'll have the verdict. And I know Derek McInnes will be keeping a keen eye on Kilmarnock's as well. But get those calls into us then on the usual number. John Paul's in Falkirk. How are you, John Paul?
Fogged out, Gordon.
Oh, sorry. I don't know who's made that mistake, but anyway, how's it going?
Evening, Gordon, Kenny and Gordon.
How's your point?
You know, I've got a few points. I'll just run through them quickly. Now, I've actually got one point, but I'll run through the decisions quickly. You know, Yang, for me, it could have been a yellow, right? But see, when you watch it back, it's a high foot. He's not. I know there's not any mass or anything like that, but you can't put your foot higher than you or the opponent. You know, I think, for me, if it's a send over, the send off, a booking would have been all right, but I've no qualms with that. The two penalties, never ever penalties, you know, it's unbelievable. I think the Celtic one with a penalty, I definitely don't think the Hearts one with a penalty, but that's done, you can't, whatever it is, we've got to deal with VAR here, where the referees are making mistakes and all. But my main point, you know, and my main point is, I'll speak about my own team, because I was quick enough to come on and back them up when they were doing well and they were winning. But see, right now, you know, obviously it was a worry, Carl McGregor not playing. A massive, he would be a loss to any team. But see, for me right now, a chance to go back top of the league. And Celtic have been poor. Celtic have got a lot more points than they should have. And what a chance they had after Saturday to go back top of the league, and there was no leaders there. Carter Vickers done everything he could, but I never seen anything to assure me that going into the nitty-gritty, when you know you need to go and win, you know, last year under Ange, if we were going to Hearts to go top of that league, you bet your bottom dollar, we would have tried everything we could have. It was pitiful. I thought Hearts were more than a match for us. They were made up for it. You know, I think players went into their shell. You know, they didn't have 10 men. Show a bit of bottle, show a bit of hunger, a bit of fight. I didn't see any of that, you know. And see, for me, as a Celtic fan, I don't know about other Celtic fans, that is worrying for me, because Celtic have always been about that, you know, the last couple of years, right? We know what's going to happen. It's coming into this. We know we need to go and win. That wasn't there on Saturday, or Sunday, sorry. Mm-hmm. That wasn't there, and that's a wee bit worrying for me.
Can I just say, I think there's something quite cleansing about this tonight. For all those people who think, Scottish football, it's just all about bias. There's John Paul's a Celtic fan. He understands the Yang red card. He's not that fussed about it. And Kenny Miller doesn't think it was a red card at all. There you go. Who says everybody's biased? Anyway, John Paul's got more of a football point, lacking leaders, worried about the performance, etc.
What I would say on that, John Paul, is see when you're talking about going, Angie's team going there and you bet your bottom dollar they would have went top, it would have been all the same players that were pretty much playing, you know. So out with McGregor, and he is, for me, is the driving force in that Celtic team. He's the heartbeat, he is the leader, and the one that keeps them ticking. But the majority of the players would have been, I mean, you're still talking Carter Vickers, and you're talking Johnstones, and no, Kyogo kind of came on in the game as well. You've still got Maeda, you've still got a lot of the Matt O'Reilly, you've still got a lot of the same guys. So are you saying that without McGregor, that is the situation? It's not necessarily the other guys. It's going to be without McGregor, that's it. There's no way you can win games of football, because they have done before. And by the way, they still could have, even with 10 men. I've watched Celtic a lot with 10 men. They know exactly what they're doing the minute it goes to 10 men. They clearly work on it. They're well coached within it. And they were always going to have probably still a lot of the ball and create chances. It's just that second goal went and absolutely killed them. You know, so I look at it and I think it's easy for fans that come on and say that. Rangers fans have been saying it for years, the fact that when Celtic have absolutely dominated kind of Scottish football for a long time, where's our leaders? We're getting in. Tavernier normally gets in the neck, and it'll be Goldson and what have you. At this moment in time, you're right, Celtic aren't playing as good as what they were playing over the last couple of seasons. So for me, that's more the issue. It's maybe not a, listen, every team, every fan wants to see their teams with leaders. They want to see the passion, they want to see it meaning something, that they're representing the jersey properly. But I think a lot of those same guys that were in that team that Ange would have went there and beats Hearts probably were playing on that field as well on Sunday.
What do you think, John Paul?
No, I definitely agree. Obviously, I get that the most of the players were there, you know, but see whether this is today with Brendan or whether it's the day's style of play, but is it the same fight? You know, you had your Starfelts and you had your settle back two that were played all the time, your Starfelts, your Jotters were there, it was different. But, you know, Celtic went there and they knew what they had today. You know, it doesn't really have the same fight and hunger. You know, I don't know if that's coming from the manager, I don't know what it is, but I think it's been clear to see this year that it's been completely different. There's no been the same hunger, there's no been the same desire to do what it is, you know, and it was fine, but we wouldn't have dropped so many points, you know, and for me, the only thing that I'm really lucky about is Rangers have been actually playing better than they've ever played, and Celtic have been the worst I've seen them in a couple of years, and we're only still 2 points behind them, so that's only saving grace for me, but I would just have liked to see a wee bit more on Sunday, you know, a wee bit more leadership or mentality, going there and going win. You know, your captain's out, we understand the captain's out, right? Go and show a performance that I'm going to go in. A lot has been streaming out for a performance. I thought he was very, very poor on Sunday. I thought he dilly-dallied in the ball. You know, I thought he could have been into any chance, show the manager, like, here, I'm here to stay, you know, but I was just a wee bit disappointed in the result and how easy it was when obviously not easy, but when it went to 10 men, Hearts looked like they were the better team, you know, and Celtic didn't know they were going to go and win the game.
What about that area, Gordon? Because we can't have a league where we've got Celtic and Rangers as well, but Celtic in this instance, with a budget that dwarfs everybody else, they must have players in reserve that can let them cope when people are missing. But do they? Did it show at the weekend that although there were high hopes for Iwata going into the game, nothing personal against him, but it didn't look like he was Callum McGregor, you know, on Sunday. I think most fans would agree with that.
That would worry me going forward if I was a Celtic fan. McGregor obviously is going to miss games. He's a terrific player. He's a terrific leader for Celtic. But it's Celtic Football Club here. If McGregor's,
it's always serious when you add football club, isn't it? I've noticed that.
But if McGregor's not able to play, if you're just going to come out after a game and say, well, we missed our captain, we missed our leader, we lost today, I don't think that's good enough. I think there's people in the middle of the park or in your squad or waiting for a chance. You're bringing in international footballers. You're bringing in players that are worth millions, paying them high wages. Yes, is Callum McGregor a big loss to Celtic? Of course he is. Callum McGregor's not been pulling up trees lately, right? But the one thing he is great at is getting people round about him. Now, would he have made a difference when down to 10 men, wee bit more organisation? Probably. But somebody has to step up for me, Gordon.
See, on Sunday in particular, right, I get why John Paul feels this way, because it's all part of a big picture. It's a title race. It's been seen as an underwhelming season by Celtic. But see, in isolation on Sunday, and I know it's really boring, is it not just a case that if you go down to 10 men at Tynecastle that early, you probably won't win the game? And if you miss a penalty before that, you've made it even harder. But you know, does this need to be part of a bigger analysis?
I don't think Brendan Rodgers believed that, because I do agree with Kenny. I was listening.
Listen, you can give it a go and they were fine, but what I mean is...
When he said that they prepared for that, because it was the same situation at Livingston. The minute they went down to 10 men away to Livingston, they went Kyogo
totally
and Maida up.
But that's what I'm saying, you can try that, but yeah. Hearts are better than Livingston.
Yeah, but
Livingston don't have a lot of
chance. They've done it at Ibrox as well.
Much later in the game.
It was 17 minutes in. Yeah, it was, but it's... I
still believe that Celtic, with the quality, if everybody's playing at their top level, even with 10 men, can walk out of Tynecastle with a result.
I think the bigger thing for me with Celtic is that they've had Ange for two seasons and the football was different. You know, it was different. I think some players within the team, again, to go in maybe a different way, John's put in terms of leader or fight, I don't think they're showing the same qualities at the moment. I don't think some of the Celtic players have got anywhere near the levels that they've reached over the last couple of seasons.
Thank you to John Paul. It is that time of the night already. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. It is Beat the Pundit time. If you want to take on Kenny Miller or Gordon DL. You call us right now on 0141 951 1025 and the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Kenny Miller are in the building, and if you want to get in touch, 01419511025. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. Still no verdict on that Yang appeal or the Kilmarnock one for that matter. Just means you're going to have to keep listening till 8 o'clock, right to the end. You won't want to miss it. So stay tuned and keep those calls coming. We've been, of course, going over again some certain decisions from the weekend. I'm sure we will continue. There have been a few that have got on and wanted to talk just purely about the football and the results and the performances, so keep them coming. We'll maybe take a look at Benfica in a bit of focus, see what lies ahead for Rangers there as well. We've even got a big championship game tonight, so there's plenty to get involved with. Let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Hugh Keevans lost on a tiebreaker last night. You're in the presence of greatness, you know.
He's doing all right.
He's still got 100% record, as Kenny Miller. Oh. I'm going to see it every night until I can jinx
him. He's played about four games.
No, he's played a lot.
Oh, come on now, you. Have you? I think that might have been me last week getting the same amount of wins as him.
That's right. He's got the same. He's got the same points as you in half the amount of games. You're on a 57% win rate, which is not great.
Just above the water. Just above.
I've played more games than Cal McGregor.
You're basically you're fighting for the top six. That's about it. That's as
absolutely
exciting as
no
it gets
chance
for you.
No chance.
Darren is on the line. How's it going, Darren?
Yeah, not bad.
Have you ever played before?
No.
The stats tell you that Kenny is much better at this than Gordon DL, but I don't know, if you want to go for the big dog? The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
And being a Rangers man, I'd rather take on Miller.
Oh, there we are. See, he's just sticking. Gordon played for Rangers as well, by the way.
But reserves.
I'll remember. Anyway, heads, it will be Kenny. Tails, it's Gordon DL. We'll get a Wraith Rovers fan on one day. And it is tails. It's you, I'm afraid.
That right, Darren, all the best.
The panic just hit his face there.
I don't panic. I'm in full control. This percentage is going up in the next
57%.
So if I win, what do I got to?
I don't know. I can't figure that out.
You can look at me if you want.
Right,
give
Darren,
me stary eyes.
I'm going to give Gordon DL some greatest hits radio so that it's just you and I. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Right, your 30 seconds then starts now. Who captained Celtic in Callum McGregor's absence on Sunday?
Palmer.
Name any of the teams drawn in Scotland women's Euro qualifying group today.
Slovenia.
Who did Giovanni van Bronckhorst join after Rangers in 2001?
Pass.
What club connects Alan McGregor, Jackie McNamara and Owen Coyle?
Pass.
Who's the only Scot to make a first team appearance for Bayern Munich?
That's a nightmare.
Oh, they were quite hard though. Let's bring Gordon DL back. You ready?
Yeah.
Tough tonight. You're in bother.
Stare at me all you want. Try
no,
and
they're
put
tough.
Me
forget
no,
him.
No, they were
tough.
Hard. They're hard.
Are they tough? Mm-hmm.
They're tough, mate. Yep.
But that is the difference between like you
tough
and all the other. You put all the other pundits off, and Kenny's.
No, I'm quite happy for him
back
to give it to me.
I'm quite happy just leaving him to these because these are tough.
Mm. Tough, aren't they?
Right, come on then.
Okay, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who captained Celtic in Callum McGregor's absence on Sunday?
Carrie Vickers.
Name any of the teams drawn in Scotland women's Euro qualifying group.
Serbia.
Today. Who did Giovanni van Bronckhorst join after Rangers in 2001?
Pass.
What club connects Alan McGregor, Jackie McNamara and Owen Coyle?
Dunfermline.
Who is the only Scot to make a first team appearance for Bayern Munich?
McAnally.
Name any of the teams that would take part in an Angus derby.
Forfar.
Which team have the most red cards in the Scottish Premiership this season?
I'm going to go Kilmarnock.
Okay.
Oh, that's a victory. Boom. In the bag. Let's go home.
There you go.
You didn't victory. I've not even heard Darren.
Whoa. You didn't hear Darren.
I don't care. Darren's no beating that.
Darren, is he right?
Well, I'll just hang up now.
Oh, see you later, Darren. Oh, I would rather play Kenny. Who, well, you've just been whipped.
Who captained. Please wait and find out. Who captained Celtic in Callum McGregor's absence? It was Cameron Carter-Vickers. 1-0 Gordon.
Oh, he didn't even get that.
He didn't.
Oh, hang up.
Darren, do you know what? It only took me to question two to worry about this, because he looked at his paper, which tells me he's done a bit of research.
Yeah,
there's nothing worse You saw that women's Euro draw earlier and you thought that'll be unbeaten pundit tonight, 100%. Didn't you?
That's, honestly, that's experience. I'm not going to lie. That's experience.
I see when they got that, that was it. I knew it. That was
game
it,
over. I know. Yeah. I actually feel for Darren because I feel like Darren had a bit of knowledge and he's got
Israel as well.
Slovenia and Slovakia mixed up, Darren.
We'll give him that. We'll give him that.
Yeah, game that. He's not even got a passport.
Serbia, Slovakia, or Israel. 2-0, Gordon DL. You weren't that good though because I thought one of the easier ones, Giovanni van Bronckhorst.
Arsenal.
I'm not really caring. I'm trying to make it tight
still
here.
Still 2-0.
Safe as blushes.
The club that connects Alan McGregor, Jackie McNamara, and Owen Coyle is Dunfermline. 3-0.
And a bag for a hat trick.
Who's the only Scot to make a first team appearance for Bayern Munich? I should have said men, with no offence to Sam Kerr, of course, who
in the
plays
bag
for Bayern Munich. Women, yes, Alan McAnally.
Boom.
Oh no.
Well, this isn't looking good for a dazzler.
It's the middle of the donut, I think.
Oh, so. Darren. Darren.
And Darren actually ran out of questions, so it was a zero.
Ah, Darren. What's your second name? What's
don't
your
tell
address?
Him, don't tell him, Darren.
The one thing you're not getting tonight,
you
Darren.
You even had time to don't take it. All right, okay. I wondered where that was going. Four for Breakin' or Brotham and Trose. You even got that. But you had time to show that you are not the know-it-all you think you are.
That was a can.
Rangers have the most red cards in the Premiership. Cifuentes, Balogun, Wright and Sterling.
The referees. Conspiracy, darn eh? What do you think tonight? Will you phone back? Phone back when it's somebody else like Wilson.
Look how hyper he is because he's got that one. Unbelievable.
Darren, I'm annoyed at this, Darren, right? Because I genuinely do think they were tough, but then somehow he, of all people, made them seem quite easy. I don't know how it happened, but
hold on,
Darren,
I'm going to see 5-0 there.
I appreciate you playing, Darren. All the best.
Take care.
Unlucky, Dan.
There we go.
Toddle on. Next.
I know arithmetic is not your strong point. Do you want to know what you got up to? You were in 57%. Do you know what that one line puts you up to? 58.
No way.
Of course it does. You've played so many games. How many percentage points did you expect
many
to climb by?
Many games have I played?
A lot.
I'll tell you what, that's a good performance
like the 30s
tonight,
or something.
I was sharp tonight. I don't know you what I did last night, but I'll be doing it on Wednesday night for Thursday's meeting.
Oh, like the research, the homework. I must admit, when you got the Scotland
you
women's
happy
draw.
With that, you?
No, it was distraught. It was the opposite.
No, actually,
I just knew that you had obviously taken it seriously.
Well,
tonight.
we're very fortunate we've got Sky Sports here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You love that, don't you?
Do you know last night that so there is a secret behind the scenes? There's a TV next to that which tells me like how long the breaks are, what breaks coming up, what sort of audio clips that we're playing. So it's quite like a vital part of the operation. And for the entire show last night, it was just on EastEnders or Emmerdale or something. And I forgot to change it, and I just was just stuck staring at soap operas. Had no idea when the show was ending. At the end, just sort of guessed.
To be fair, I thought that was Darren's research tonight. I thought he had his TV on the wrong station.
I felt bad for Darren. I
sure did.
I
tell men you get Kenny.
I would have got three or four, but I'm quicker than you, so I probably would have got a couple at the end. Mm-hmm. To be fair, so I've had Carter Vickers, had Dunfermline, had Arsenal, I never had McAnally, never had
McAnally
Serbia.
Was some shout for me, wasn't it?
Brilliant.
Yeah, you're happy a man. Then. You're a man.
And you got there as well. You were kind of trying to get fight there to get there, and you got there.
I know.
Brilliant.
Okay, well done.
Thought they were hard.
Anyway, right. Let's, as we sometimes do, give you the inside track on the opposition for our Scottish teams this week. Of course, Rangers heading out to take on Benfica. Albert Carter Phillips from the Long Ball Football podcast joins us now. How's it going, Albert?
Evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Not bad, not bad at all. Now, the two men I have alongside me, they're okay with their Scottish football knowledge. They are not students of Benfica, so that's where you come in. What sort of challenge do Rangers face this week?
Yeah, well, listen, I think it's going to be an interesting game, and it's funny because we were recording a different preview to this game only a few days ago before a very recent game between Benfica and Porto, which has made such a big difference. So on paper, I would say that this would be a really big challenge for Rangers because, you know, Benfica, they're a wonderful team with wonderful players. They've spent a lot of money on their squad and they're a really good side. But at this exact moment in time, I'm inclined to say it's possibly quite a good time to be playing Benfica because I think they're probably still going to be wounded from that result. I know you've discussed it. It was 5-0 to Porto at the weekend. And I think, to be honest, they're going to be quite wounded. So I'm inclined to say this could be as good a time as any to play this Benfica side, despite the fact that they have got a lot of quality players and a good manager.
What happened? I mean, I know they went down to 10 men. Certainly Otamendi sent off. I think it was at 3-0 at the time. Where did that come from? What went wrong?
I mean, as you can imagine, it's been the hot topic of discussion ever since the game ended. And I don't think many people saw it coming, although I have heard some respected sort of commentators on the Portuguese game saying that perhaps the signs were there. It's not a perfect Benfica side, but they are, like I said, a really capable team. I think that the issue at the weekend really was about mentality and the psychological side of the game rather than anything technical or tactical, although I think Roger Schmidt did make mistakes with his starting lineup. I think the big worry from Benfica's perspective was the fact that they weren't really prepared for how Porto played against them. They couldn't really respond. And when they started to get into a situation where, you know, it went from 2-0 to 3-0, suddenly you saw key players' heads drop. You saw experienced players kind of shrink a little bit. Like you said, Otamendi, the club captain, a current World Cup winner, sent off in a pretty unfortunate situation. So, for me, the worry really is how they're going to respond to this mentally rather than the quality they have on the pitch, which is undoubted.
Mm. I think what goes in Rangers' favour is for a number of seasons now in Europe, that they've managed to, you know, shock teams that on paper should be stronger. And Benfica, I'm sure, will remember that from 2020, I think it was. Mm. I just wonder how the strength of that current team compares to then. Are they better now? What's the comparison?
Yeah, I think it is slightly better. And also Rangers played against Braga in the Europa League, yep, either last season or the season before. So it's a much better team than that Braga side as well. So, I mean, again, I'm sorry I'm repeating myself, but on paper, it should be a really good team and a very tough game for Rangers. But, you know, this recent result has put so much kind of doubt in people's minds and, you know, really flipped things on its head. So for a lot of us in following the Portuguese game, we're all kind of waiting to see what Benfica is going to turn up. I mean, there's still a real possibility that, you know, Benfica responds to that setback and, you know, Roger Schmidt gets the team selection right and the players have got the right motivation. And if they do that, I think they can probably come out and hurt Rangers if they play well, as they could hurt any team in world football. But yeah, there's still a big question mark over which Benfica is going to turn up on Thursday.
Just very quickly, I want to speak to Albert a bit longer, but so you can get your calls in, if you're listening, I can tell you right now, hot off the press, Yang's appeal has been dismissed. So that appeal was not successful. He'll now serve a 2-match ban, and the same scenario for Lewis Mayo as well. So both Kilmarnock and Celtic have lost those appeals that we were discussing. Get your calls in right now, give us your reaction. Albert, so many household names, I guess, in the Benfica team. Are we looking in the obvious places? Who are the ones that Rangers really need to look out for?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great players. Like I said, Nicolas Otamendi won the World Cup with Argentina last year. So did Angel Di Maria, who came back to Benfica after a period away, Benfica legend. Obviously, players getting on a bit, both 35 years old plus, but still great quality, especially Angel Di Maria, who, especially in the Portuguese league, still shows fantastic quality. But there's great players like Rafa Silva. Some people might be aware of. He's been at Benfica for a long time. The sort of player who has been rumoured with moves to big clubs over the years. Perhaps that boat might have sailed slightly given his age. He's getting on a bit now. But a wonderful attacking player. They signed David Neres, Brazilian winger from Shakhtar Donetsk, who's really fantastic flair player. And then they've got really good young players, as they always do, players like Antonio Silva, young centre-back who's been rumoured with some of the biggest clubs in Europe. And a player that I think everyone should look out for, João Neves, a very small central midfielder, only 18 years of age, but sometimes this season he's been Benfica's best player, not just on the pitch, but as a leader at only 18 years old. So, yeah, a lot of good players.
Yeah, a lot to contend with. Go on then, give the Rangers fans listening some sort of hope. If there is a weakness in that team, what would Rangers look to exploit?
Well, I mean, the area that Benfica were absolutely exploited in at the weekend was in both fullback positions. I mean, Porto scored 5 goals, 4 of which came from crosses into the box. So that's clearly an area of weakness there. They don't necessarily have settled fullbacks on either side. They have one recognised fullback, the Danish Alexander Barr, who I believe is currently injured. Certainly didn't start at the weekend. I don't think will start on Thursday. They've been playing a centre-back at left-back, who's obviously has limitations there. They do have other left-back options that they can use. But yeah, fullback looks to be a real issue. And again, like I said, even if it's not just like technical things that Rangers can exploit, it will be about mentality and who can win the psychological side of the game.
Brilliant, good man. That was Albert Carter-Phillips from the Long Ball Football Podcast. You can find them on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it. Thanks again, Albert.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Good man, good insight there. Rangers fans, I have to say, Kenny, just that last one. What's Benfica's one weakness? Fullbacks and Rangers don't have any fit wide players.
I'm just writing them down there.
Clement will be absolutely delighted at that.
I've just been writing them down there. If that was exactly what I thought. Fullbacks are struggling. You've got Cortes, McCaws, and Matondo, Sima, all these lads who would probably be their first choices.
Trying to take advantage of
it. Are going to be injured. So it's it could be a good matchup in the wide areas then.
Right, anyway, that was that breaking news that I told you. Yang's appeal has been dismissed. It was unsuccessful. The suspension does stand. Same scenario for Lewis Mayo at Kilmarnock. So get your calls in right now and we will get your reaction to that. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB your thoughts, but it goes without saying, it's much more fun to get you on the phone. So pick up that phone right now, give us your reaction, and I'll tell you about this.
Clyde One Live, celebrating the first 50 years.
Tomorrow morning, just after 8 o'clock, Gordon Dalziel has promised he's going to set his alarm and tune in for this, because we've got another act to be announced just after 8 on Bowie at Breakfast. Callum Beattie was announced as the second act, joining Amy McDonald, and it's all live at the Ovo Hydro on Friday the 31st of May. You can get your tickets right now by heading to Clyde1.com.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
I've never been so glad for the break to end. It just took a really morbid turn where Gordon Dalziel was telling Kenny Miller with full sincerity he's worried about his time left with us. And I don't mean a Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's a real light-hearted topic for Tuesday night.
I'm counting my summers now.
Are you okay? Has anything brought this on?
Ah, Kenny was very, very kind words there, so I'm quite happy.
Has anything brought it on?
No.
It's only me, Kenny, and 50,000 people listening.
I was deep in thought, and good, I just says to Kenny, but he reassured me.
It'll be a good turnout anyway, trust me. Right.
Just keep on that golf course every morning, you'll be fine.
01419511025 is the number that you need. Breaking news before the break. Yang has lost his appeal. He'll serve a 2-match suspension. Lewis Mayo of Kelly lost his appeal as well. Get your reaction into those. And very quickly, I can see Bill hanging on the line. I'll tell you about this question first.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride, offering champion bespoke media units to put you right in the game.
Right, it's another Crazy Pony classic, and I love this because he says, I can just envisage Gordon Dalziel saying, there must be a goalie in there somewhere.
Have they?
Can you name 10 goalies?
Oh, hello.
That have played for Celtic or Rangers and have kept a clean sheet in the Champions League for a different club. So there are 10 goalkeepers who've played for either Celtic or Rangers and they've kept a clean sheet in the Champions League but for a different club.
Barkas.
Klos.
Klos, yes. Barkas, no.
No. He's never kept a clean sheet, has he?
No, you're the one training. You're the one that suggested him.
I know, but I just outside the box. Who did you say?
Klos.
Klos, right.
Did it for Borussia Dortmund.
Forster.
Fraser Forster has done it for Tottenham, would you believe? There we go.
Brilliant, okay. Mate. Joe Hart,
of course he hasn't.
Has
he? No, he has, I'm only joking. Yeah, he's on there. Man City. All right, we'll leave it there. 3-7 to get. Thanks to the Crazy Pony for the question. And you can submit yours full time at Clyde1.com. Let's bring in Bill. Breaking news, Bill. Yang lost his appeal. What's your verdict?
An absolute disgrace. First and foremost, the player is gathers the ball on his chest, knocks the ball off his chest, puts his foot up to flick his foot, the ball over the top of the advancing Hearts player. Now, there is not one single photograph that I've seen where Yang actually makes contact with the Hearts player. However, the Hearts player was down feigning injury. There is no evidence that he has any injury at all to his face. If it was his head, he should have been off for concussion. Neither do those things.
How do you make that leap, Bill? I mean, I'm not a doctor, but there are a lot of levels of contact to the head that don't give you concussion. Chuck Yang, this pen at Gordon Dalziel in a minute, it won't give him concussion.
If Yang catches him in the head, head knocks are normally taken off with the prospect of concussion. That's normally been the procedure I've seen in the Scottish League this year. However, as I say,
There is not one single photograph of evidence to indicate that the player has made contact. Now,
are you sure?
I'll tell you what. You put one on YouTube or anything else you like to show that he's actually made contact with the player.
Listen, I can't make you think that, Bill. Here's a good example, right? Because Kenny Miller actually, this might surprise you, he's on your side, kinda. He doesn't think it's a red card. He thinks Yang should have won that appeal. But you still think there was contact, don't you?
I think so. Again, going on Bill, I think there was minimal contact. I think his description of the action was pretty much bang on in terms of the ball popping up, the foot going vertically up, not going horizontally across towards a player. It's going up towards the ball to try and flip it over Cochrane's head. And the contact is minimal. I agree also, there is no injury.
But again, for accuracy, do think there's contact.
I do think there's contact, yeah. Minimal. But from a player's perspective, I know exactly what's going on in that action. I know there's not any malice. He's not trying to hurt an opponent. I don't really think
bit isn't relevant, unfortunately.
I also don't think that he is, by doing that action, he is not endangering the opponent, is it? Because he's not going towards the player. He's going up the sky to the ball. Cochrane then comes in to try and head it, and that's when there's minimal contact. And again, Cochrane is fine. Bill's right, he's fine. He's not got any facial injury. He's not got a bad head knock. There's no blood coming from because the stud went into his face or the side of his head with any real force. He's fine. There was contact, but minimal contact. Yeah. I just don't think it was a red card.
See, I mean, Gordon, I can see why. The problem is, look, it's written in black and white, the words, and then people then need to interpret that. People will be listening and saying, look, any time a stud or a boot makes contact with the head, that's endangering an opponent.
What about a fist? Hmm? Does that count as well?
It should do.
It should do. It didn't, though.
Well, the goalies. Aye, goalies get maybe murdered, though. That's different. It shouldn't be. I can almost hear people saying that. Look, you kick someone in the head, whether it's minimal, that's endangering an opponent. However, it's an absolute guarantee at some point, because I've already seen clips of past incidents. Yeah. At some point soon, somebody will catch somebody in the head and it won't be given as a red. That's
I don't
just
think
what
he
happens.
Kicked him in the head. So that's the. I don't think he kicked him in the head.
What do you mean?
Like, he never kicked him in the head. He put his foot up. Kicking someone in the head means you kicking.
Contact between boot and head then, to get accurate.
Okay, fine.
I think Kenny's putting up a great case. I think everybody will be split in the decision here, Gordon, our opinion. My opinion is, I feel for a boy. I think Kenny puts up a great case for him. Am I surprised there is no overturn? No. I thought it was a red card when I seen it. I think he is endangering a player. Yeah.
Bill will now serve a 2-game suspension. That blow.
Absolute rubbish. As were the 3 incidents that occurred during the game. In the first instance, it's not a penalty for Celtic when Yang goes down in the box. I had 2 of my friends in, and we all said at the one time, that's not a penalty. The Yang incident is not a red card. If Kenny said that there was contact with the player, can somebody show us evidence where there was contact?
But here's the thing, contact. Kenny's seen the same footage as you, and he thinks he can see contact and you can't. So I think we end up going round in circles a bit on that.
There are still photographs taken of the incident, and you can quite clearly see Cochrane turning his face away, and the boot is nowhere near his face.
But again, now we are stretching it, Bill, aren't we? The boot is nowhere near his face. Nowhere near it.
We're not stretching it. He's not making contact.
Right, hold on, but decide then, which is it? No contact, or is he nowhere near his face? Because he's near his face, for goodness sake.
Making contact.
Right, so it's just that, but you take back the nowhere near bit.
Yeah, and what Kenny is saying about there being contact, prove it. Let's see the evidence.
Well, I'm going to assume that that's what an appeal is. Yeah. Remember, the burden of proof was on. The burden would be on Celtic to try and prove that an obvious refereeing error took place.
I think it would have been pretty straightforward had there not been any contact, then, would it?
Celtic were unable to do that, basically.
I keep going back to it. I feel for him, but I think it is the right decision. Where I will agree with Bill is, I think the other 2 decisions that Bill's talking about is 100% spot on. The only thing we don't agree in is Yang. And I think there'll be people divided in this situation, because you're right, Gordon. We will see probably in Twitter or whatever it's called nowadays, you know, other situations that's happened in the past, and
you'll see
not
when
been
people have been sharing them. You know, people oh, I think got booked for one, but Derek Kelly, Derek McInnes thought it should have been a red. Obviously, there've been comparisons made. I think it's a slightly different one, but comparisons made with Olesanya and Joe Hart, and he was sent off. I think obviously the handball has been a real sort of bone of contention as well. I'm just going to throw a kind of theory out there to almost show the difference in the decisions. I can't even really back this up. My gut would tell me, right, that a lot of referees will think Yang's red is correct.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, you know, I get Kenny's point. I'm not quite sure about Bill's no contact, but I think if I was to go into a room of 100 referees, I think there would be a sizable number would think Yang's is a red card. I don't think there would be the same sizable number about the Iwata handball. I don't know what I don't obviously Don Robertson and John Beaton have their own thoughts, and it's just a gut. I can't even back it up. I just feel like there wouldn't be that consensus there, because it doesn't tick the boxes.
I don't even think it'd be a 50-50 split goal.
No, I don't think it would be close to that either.
No, because Don Robertson gives a decision. Obviously, he looks at the situation. I'm with the majority of people in this, ex-footballers, pundits, managers, coaches, fans, whatever it may be. I cannot believe that was given as a penalty kick against Celtic.
Because I'll tell you what, see some of the stuff that I'm hearing, Kenny, that's valid, but I actually don't even think we should realise that it doesn't come into it anymore. I see people saying he's backed Stern, he doesn't know where the ball is. I actually don't even think you even need to go that far, because I was at Pittodrie, was it last Wednesday night? The ball comes over, was it Gartman or Jensen? I can't remember which of the defenders. He jumps up, the ball's behind him, hits his hand, he's got no idea, but his hand's right in there. That is just a penalty nowadays. I think the difference with this one, obviously, is the proximity of Alistair Johnson, the way it pops down off Johnson, the way that, it, you know, it's like a ball coming down. You know, as far as I was led to believe, I'm probably going to word this wrong, I'm not making up rules here as such, but, you know, if the ball's travelling towards goal, as an example, that's when, like, your senses are really heightened. Look, has that ball been prevented from getting to the goal by the hand? You know, there's not even any of that would come into play.
Or even a through pass to a player who's running. There's none of it. Absolutely none of it. The ball's dropping. Had that hit him on the shoulder or had it wouldn't have changed the action at all. They've not gained any advantage from the ball hitting his hand either.
And
he's also taken a nudge.
That's what I was going to say.
He's
actually probably only hits him because
he's got a nudge.
Oh, sorry, the arm only comes out as a result of the...
Exactly. So it's an absolute farce. The thing with the handball is it is just the interpretation of the referee at that time. You know, so if you have got the 100 referees, they might all see it differently.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's no doubt they would see it differently.
That's the thing, though. And I just can't back up. It's just a hunch. I actually don't think that would apply here. I think the vast majority wouldn't think that's a penalty. Yeah. Just because, you see the ones that you can debate them and if the hand's here, how high, but...
It still hit his hand, right? So that's just clear. His hand. His hand's out with his body, despite what the reason is that it is out with the body. Yeah. He's been nudged or whatever, but it still hit his hand. So there will be still referees that are looking at it and thinking, right, okay, he's made his body bigger, it's not in a natural position or whatever it is, and it's hit his hand. So, by the way, you've had two referees have gave
exactly,
it as a penalty.
And
so
maybe,
clearly there's referees will think it's a penalty.
Maybe 75 refs are going to send me a message and say, you're talking nonsense. It's just a hunch. I just, you know, that you see the ones that you think are going to be given and aren't. And I know everyone blames the rule.
And then Nicky Devlin's isn't given, which was crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, right. 01419511025. That's the number you need. Get your calls in, get your tweets in. Whilst we do, let me give you some team news. There is a massive game in the Championship tonight. I'm sure many of our listeners will be keeping an eye on that one. So let's get the team news from Morton, Dundee United with Dave Galloway.
Well, Gordon, last time these teams met, they served up a five-goal thriller at Tannadice. Morton edging it thanks to a George Oakley hat-trick. An 88th-minute screamer clinching victory. Another win for them this evening would see them rise to third place in the Championship. Of course, many expected Dundee United to be way out in front at the top by now, but with 10 games to go, they lead Raith Rovers by just 1 point. In 2024, the Terrors have played 9 matches, 4 victories, 2 draws and 3 defeats. So they're very keen for consistency as they battle for promotion. But having put Motherwell out of the Scottish Cup here last month, the Ton will be full of confidence. Let's look at the team lineups then. And Morton make three changes. In come Ryan Mullen, Jai Katongo and Grant Gillespie. Out drop Jamie McDonald, Lewis McGrattan and Michael Garrity. They go then with Ryan Mullen in goals. A back four of Tyler French, Jack Baird, Dara O'Connor and Lewis Strapp. The sitting midfielders, Cammy Blues and Alan Power. Then it's Robbie Crawford, Grant Gillespie and Jai Katongo, with Robbie Muirhead leading the line. The three changes also for Dundee United. The men coming in, Liam Grimshaw, Jordan Tilson and Tony Watt. Out drop Alex Grieve, Kai Fotheringham and Glenn Middleton. So they start Jack Walton in goals. Across the back, Liam Grimshaw, Declan Gallagher, Kevin Holtz and Scott McMahon. The sitters, Ross Doherty and Jordan Tilson. Then it's Miller Thompson, Tony Watt and Craig Sibbald, with Louis Moult leading the attack. And your match referee here at a wet Greenock, it's Lloyd Wilson.
Dave Galloway in Greenock. I didn't think he was allowed south of Perth, quite frankly. And there's no Wimpy down here, so I don't know what he's going to be doing for his dinner.
He must have brought one with
him. Dundee United, no wins in the last two. Good news for them is your former team Wraith don't look like they want to go on and win this championship either. So there's every chance that an underwhelming Dundee United are still going to go on and win this league.
I've got to be honest, I fancy Morton tonight.
Yeah, I mean, their winning run came to an end at the weekend. I suppose that was bound to happen.
They've been absolutely brilliant at home. They're different class. They've got match winners there. I think that'll be a difficult game for Dundee United. They're shipping goals just now. And like, you're right, Mull Club, I feel for them. I'm distraught that they can't, you know, get to the top of the table and obviously get promotion like I achieved many times in my career.
Right, we'll leave that there. Very quickly on this teaser, looking for 10 goalkeepers who played for Celtic or Rangers and they've kept a clean sheet in the Champions League for a different club. Hart, Clauss and Forster.
Charbonnier.
Yes, Auxerre, well done.
Oh, nice one.
And Boric?
Artur Boric is not on there.
De Vries has never won, is he? How far back have we gone?
Does it really matter? I mean,
Christensen?
Nope. We're going to kind of spreading out across the Champions League era, really. Not right Niemi? Back. Nope. Okay, I'll give you some thinking time. Yep. Mark in Maryhill's got a sensational idea for VAR, and you can hear it next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're about to speak to Mark and Mary Hill. So very quickly, 10 goalies who've played for Celtic or Rangers and kept a clean sheet in the Champions League for a different club. Did you get any new ones?
No, really.
Kenny,
but I'll tell you what.
I think I heard Kenny.
Theo Snelders.
Nope.
Well, I had that as well. Waterus.
Yep.
And Lionel Letizia.
Yes, yeah, both correct. All right. Recap of the breaking news tonight. Yang has had his appeal dismissed. The two-game suspension stands. Remember, it's slightly different depending what the offence is. So because it was for that serious foul play, Yang can't play in the Cup. His suspension does carry into the Scottish Cup. Lewis Mayo's doesn't, because it was for denying an obvious goal-scoring opportunity. Just a one-game ban for him. Let's get Mark and Mary Hill's reaction. What do you think, Mark?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Good, good, good. You?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks. I'm very well. Just 2 points about that. One is on the decision not to rescind the red card. I believe it's correct on looking at the still picture, but VAR needs to get away from using still pictures. Referees will never ever see a still picture on the field. So to me, they run up to the television screen and just play the same incident over and over, different angles, without still shots, because you can turn an innocent situation into something really bad on the pitch.
Just for a bit of on that, Mark, I think you're right, but they are they're encouraged to not. They won't look at just stills. The only reason they look at stills is for what they call, you know, point of contact. So, like the previous caller said, can you stop it? Can you show me the foot connecting with the head or whatever it is? Can you show the ball striking the arm? That's when they use the still. But they are encouraged to go full speed. They're encouraged to go slow down. They're encouraged to look at the angles, and they are encouraged to not only use stills. However, I totally take your point. Way back when I started on this show, I said to people, please stop tweeting me still images of tackles, because it just doesn't tell the picture. So I do get your point, but they are encouraged to just use a still as part of a wider picture. Don't know if it works.
And before I get to my sensational, as you put it, opinion of VAR, it's just to find out, are we stuck with it? Is there any rules that say we have to have this to get into the Champions League or anything? Or is it something we can say, by the end of next season, right, we've given it a try, it doesn't work for us in our league, we're not interested in VAR anymore?
I don't think you have to. I mean, chances are we brought it in for that reason. I get that. I don't think officially, to answer Mark's question, I don't think you're officially stuck with it. I think once you think, obviously, we brought it in to try and keep up sort of thing. I don't know, could we turn it into some unique selling point of the Scottish game that we're the league that binned it? But you'd have to imagine.
A specification you need to have it to get into.
No, I don't think so.
The Champions League or something.
No, it would just be obviously if we hosted. You know, if our team was in the Champions League, they would need it for that competition. Yeah, but Gordon, are we stuck with it, as Mark says?
Yeah, I think we will be stuck with it. I know that we've got a lot of, especially ex-players, that don't like it. I'm sort of split with it. I think there's parts of it very good, Gordon, and then there's other parts of it that would, you know, really, for me, ruins the game at times. I think goal celebrations is one. Obviously, you want to get to the right decision and it takes a bit longer. I think it ruins the experience for supporters. Our game's about supporters. They pay their hard-earned cash to go along and watch it. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can argue, well, they get the... Well, basically, we're thinking they get the right result at the end, but it's just too long for me at times.
What's the good parts, you think, Gordon? What you say?
I think the offsides. I think the you know, the just that... The narrow decisions that... Probably on a day you could lose an important game, Kenny, and look back on it and say, well, we thought that was offside. I think they get that right.
I think, obviously, it still gets more right than it gets wrong, but it's more about, is it worth the hassle? I mean, it obviously gets more right than it gets wrong.
Yeah.
It feels like it doesn't, but of course it does. You think of all those little incidents that just get... Mm-hmm. But anyway, is it worth the hassle, I think, is the question. However, Mark has an idea of how to improve it all. Mark, take it away.
Colin mentioned last night we would never be able to get someone on the VAR panel that could be impartial. It'd be a case of, oh, he's affiliated to this club, that club. You've got one man in the studio tonight. I'm a Celtic man, and I know he's a Rangers man, but I would trust Kenny Miller 100 miles to sit in a VAR studio.
Look at that, man.
It's perfect. You played for them both.
Thanks, Uncle
no
Mark.
One would question your allegiance whatsoever.
Well, you know, I think I think that the word that Mark uses is trust. You know, we need to trust the officials. You would need to trust if, I think there's been call for ex-players to get involved, and referees have the bite by, but they don't know the rules. Okay, well, you can teach us the rules. You know, because I think players see the, they know the game, they can see when exactly what a player's trying to do. If there is maybe a bit of malice in it, a wee bit too much aggression, I think they can sense it. So I think there's a case for that. Again, referees have to agree. You have to have players that would actually want to do it.
Fancy it?
Absolutely, no
I
problem.
Think it would be carnage, because there's one thing I know about Kenny. He doesn't think anything's a red card. No. I've noticed this.
No, that's not true.
There are not many. You would concede.
I'll tell you what I don't like. The ones are is the follow-throughs. I don't like the follow-through scenarios.
You think it's inevitable? And
It's inevitable. I think Andy said it last night that you need, and I've said it many times, you need to run towards a ball to actually get to the ball. So, by the way, players are encouraged to run quickly. See, if they don't run quickly and they miss the ball or miss the tackle, particularly if you're a defender and it's a striker that's going with it and nicks in front of you and scores a goal, your manager will be asking you why you're not going full force to try and win the ball, you know, to get to there and actually make the tackle or the block. So you need to move to the ball quickly. You need. I don't like this follow-through scenario. So, yep, you're right. On those situations, I don't like it. Bolton's was a disgrace. An absolute disgrace when he got sent off.
The producer says Kenny Milvar. You like
there
that?
We go.
Oh, that's quick for
I might need to reinvent myself as Kenny Milvar to actually get away with
this
it.
This is the thing.
Leave your Rangers strip in the house.
Mark's got it, but if he played for them both, no one would question his allegiance. Wouldn't do that, would you?
I think,
no. No, would you?
Hearts fans wouldn't have him, though. Played for Hibs. Yeah, that's the bit that would really let it down.
Yeah.
He's played for everybody, though.
It's a good call,
Mark.
Love it.
He's nearly ticked all off. Thank you, Mark. I don't know if it's going to catch on, but it's an interesting suggestion anyway.
Thanks,
I know we hear this a lot about refs and stuff, don't we? The only one I can think, Sean Murdoch, he's working his way up, isn't he?
Yep.
He's now a Category 1 ref. Remember, the goalkeeper, as you say, there's always a goalkeeper.
Oh, goalkeeper there.
Played a lot of games for like Dunfermline, Hamilton Accies and so on.
You would
He tends to ref most of like the big sort of, wait, like I say, he's just become Category 1, I think. I can't remember the time frame, so you'd expect that to be moving up. A lot of the big kind of West of Scotland junior games, as they used to be called, a lot of the big women's games, I've seen him out working at.
Fair, fair credit to these guys. I've got to get a pat on the back. If you look at what's happening at the top level with these referees, the scrutiny, the stick, everything that comes with it, and you're still out there putting the effort, putting the work in, you've got to give them a pat on the back, and I wish them all the very best.
I know it's such a blasé approach. I just look at all these rich leagues with all the options available to them, and they're all still whinging about it. I think we should need to strap ourselves in for a generation of whinging. I can't see.
You're not that man, Kenny.
No, I'm not. I said it before. I think we actually discussed. You know what we can't do now is just put it. Ah, well, it's just a mistake. We can't do that now because everybody expected VAR to cure all the ills.
But should they have?
No, they shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have, because particularly in the handball scenario, particularly with these red card scenarios, it's still the interpretation. And it's not just an interpretation of a law. It's how one individual sees that particular incident. And he might see it completely different for you. I mean, you think it's a red card, I don't. You
Dave Galloway is getting a treat tonight. I mean, there's no goals or anything, but there won't be VAR in the Scottish Championship tonight in that big one. A couple of big games coming up, of course. We mentioned Rangers going to Benfica. Some interesting Premiership action coming around the corner as well. Going to be another big week.
Yeah, it all starts on Thursday. I was listening to a lad tonight talking about Benfica and that sort of a mixture that they've got, youth and experience, Gordon. And you always associate Benfica, it's a name, isn't it? You know, terrific history of a football club. But the one thing Rangers have proved over the time, especially in the Europa League, when it doesn't matter what club they come up to, what
level they're at, or what they've won yet.
Yeah, reputation, that's the word I was looking for, Gordon. Rangers seem to produce, and I think it'll be another one. I know
a lot of good points made, but I mean, I think you've just shown that despite your beat the pundit prowess, you just didn't know there were Scottish Premiership fixtures. Because you said it all starts on Thursday, but I mean, it doesn't, because I was saying it was a big week. You've missed out Ross County Hibs and Dundee Aberdeen.
Yeah, well, I was more interested in going Thursday than the Scottish Cup.
That's
I was
next
leaving.
Week. I'm only kidding. That's next midweek.
I was leaving the Premier League next week to Kenny. That's his bag. But and then you look forward to, I think, will be a terrific weekend of Scottish Cup.
Do you hear me saying that as next midweek, though, just in case you come in Thursday wanting to look back on a game that never existed?
Yeah, no, okay. I won't be looking at that. I've already done my homework.
Kenny, back into Europe. Feels like it's been ages. I suppose it was, because Rangers did the hard bit, missed out their own sort of thing. Back with a bang.
Yeah, back. That's a massive night, and Gordon's right. They seem to have rose to the occasion a couple of seasons back, whether it was Dortmund, Leipzig's, Braga's, whoever it was that they faced over these two legs, they managed to get the job done. Again, similar theme, it's an away leg first. Straight away, I think they'll be thinking, can we come back with some kind of result? Can we get back a 0-0, a 1-1, even that one goal deficit, and get Benfica back to Ibrox? It gives them the chance in front of those crowd with the atmosphere that gets created there.
Right, more work to be done then on this teaser. 10 goalkeepers who've played for Celtic or Rangers and have a Champions League clean sheet for a different club. Joe Hart, Stefan Kloss, Fraser Foster. What else have we got? Charbonnier, Vatterus and Letizzi.
Come on, Kenny, I'm out.
Hedman?
Yep. A-I-K.
Zaluska?
Nope.
We also got Sanchez Brotto?
Nope.
Keep going, mate.
There's a Rangers one in there.
Is there?
Rangers. Man United. Not Gorham.
Come on then.
I forgot his name.
Of course you have.
He's a goalie.
The goalie?
Northern Irish international.
Yeah. Oh, Roy Carroll.
Carroll.
Okay, what else have we got? One's just ridiculous, like, forget it. Remember a Celtic goalkeeper, barely got to know him, CSK Moscow. That's like way back though, wasn't it? I think maybe turn of the century around that time. Did he play for Chelsea as well, I think?
Starts with K, didn't it?
Yep.
Dimitri
Karin.
Karin.
And the last one is so sneaky, you've got to get up early to beat the crazy pony. Lee Baxter.
Who's that?
He was a Rangers player and got in squads but never actually made an appearance.
No,
so Stuart's inquiry as to whether it should have been in there at all. Just a wee bonus for you. Do we get the rest of them?
Yeah.
Foster, Hart, Carroll, Letizia, Baxter, Vatera, Charbonnier, Kloss, Hedman, Karin, And there we are. Callum Gallagher's up next. He's got comedian Susie McCabe joining him on the show, so make sure you stay tuned for that. We are back tomorrow night from 6. Have a good one.